Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be, that you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of, that you deserve the existence you have been given or it would not have been granted to you, that you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking, and
Revolutionary Life is the name of the show. If you're new to the show, we hear every weekday night, Monday through Friday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Every weekday night. And we have a Facebook page by the same name, Revolutionary Life. You can also subscribe to this show as well if you want to keep up with our episodes and what they're going to be. All of our episodes are archived. And so if you miss this, if you have to cut it off in the middle, whatever, you can always go back and pull up these this show again in about an hour after this show. But then all my previous shows are on demand. You can just go on demand and find shows that are on just about any subject that has to do with our day-to-day lives, which is what we do here. Any subject you might be interested in. And so tonight, everyone, thank you for listening in, taking the time, because I take my time. And this is a talk show. This is a call-in show, I mean. And so there will be a point in this show where I will announce call-in time about halfway through. And then I will give out the phone number. I'll also pull a chat room up, and people can work in the chat, can make their comments in the chat, or they can come on the air. And so there's no intermediate guy. So when you call in, you go right on the air. Everybody hears what you have to say, and everybody will hear my response. Again, thank you for tuning in to Revolutionary Life, where we look at all the aspects of life that affect us from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution ain't nothing but change. And we know that change is inevitable. The only difference is the revolutionary rides that change. The revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of that change. You know, when you're on the front of something, you might have something to say about how that change looks when it's done. Also, there's something called a reactionary, and those people like to try to hold change back. It's impossible. Tonight, we're taking a revolutionary look at the stock market. And I told you, if you listened to my show before, that you might not play the stock market, but they damn sure play you. So please, because you ain't invested yet, they ain't got you yet, you may be invested and not even know it. Before the show over, you may find out you in the market, you see. You don't play the market. Well, I got news for you. They play the hell out of you. Now, tonight's show is called Do You Play the Market or Does It Play You? Stocks, bonds, investing, speculating, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all that stuff, NFTs, these non-fungible coins or whatever. And so smart contracts, blockchain, all that good stuff. But when we talk about this stuff here, I told you, we talk about it from a revolutionary point of view. So don't go nowhere. We're not going to go down the weeds and start talking, pulling up charts and doing percentages and whatnot. We're going to tell it like it is. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Gary. I will announce that call-in section of this show when that section arrives. And in the meantime, we're going to talk money. Cash money, fiat money, play money, all of it. Be right back. I'm going to give you a little music for now. Be right back. Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9, looking at the world from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution ain't nothing but change. And we all know if there's one thing that's going to happen on this world, things going to change. Oh, yeah. For the good or for the worse, baby. But they're going to change. They're going to move on. Tonight, our subject is the market. Wall Street, stock market, buying and selling stock on the market. Now, some of y'all buy, own stock. And you know it, and you keep up with it. Some of you may own stock, and you don't know it, or you know it and don't keep up with it. You let some brokerage firm keep up with it. Some of you don't even intend to get into the stock market. You ain't got that kind of money you can put over there and wait until it becomes something. and you damn sure ain't got enough time to play the market, to be staring at a computer and figures and numbers and watching the news and looking at Bloomberg and trying to keep up with what all the markets are doing every day. You got other things to do. And you got brokers and stuff for that if you got the money. Now, tonight, guys, I'm bringing this up tonight because that's an earlier show, radio show, and you can find it on demand. And it's just about money. Well, we talk about money in general. It's an origin, what it used to be, what it is now, and all that. It's worth its value, universal means of exchange, all that. So that was money. We did a big explanation on what's real money. All right. And so tonight we're going to talk about the market where money is bought and sold. Now, I know I may have listeners who don't invest at all, but those who do know that there's a money market. Those who do know that money is bought and sold every day, all day. You can go in there right now and you can find out how much the dollar it brings versus the Chinese yen or the euro. The dollar is up against the euro. The dollar is down against the euro. The dollar is bouncing all over the place. The dollar in your pocket, its value is played on Wall Street. Get that cue from the Federal Reserve, the ones who make your money. Now, we talked about all that in the other presentation when we talked about money. But the Federal Reserve do have the ability to assist the stock market. The Federal Reserve will buy worthless stock if it means keeping the stock market alive. It just did that here in 2020. And then there are lower interest rates, all right, all the way down to zero if they want to. You can buy something and the interest will be very, very low because the feds are moving around the interest rates. And every time they do that, the market adjusts itself. So the Fed's pulling strings like it ain't nothing. And these guys at the market now, especially the ones who don't keep up with it, let me talk about them later, because the ones that don't keep up with it, some of you don't even know you in the market. And I want to speak to this piece in a minute. But for those who are in the market, they watch the interest rate, how much it costs to borrow money. What's the interest, in other words? If I borrow 100, how much I got to pay back? How much is it worth saving my money? If I put my money in a savings account and they say they're going to give me a certain percentage of interest, and I leave it in there for a year, and I go back and look, and the APR, the yearly rate is a few percent, a 1%, or less than 1%. And I go back and look at my money in the bank, and maybe I done made a few dollars. $5 or $6, I don't know, in a year. Maybe less than that, depends on how much I got in there, in my savings. And so your savings, I'm talking about, you got a savings account. If you got a savings account, you plan to market. By the way, because when you take your, when you put your money in a savings account, if you think that money just sit there waiting for you to come get it, we got to talk. This country went through a whole period when they had to have bank holidays because when people came in there to get their money, it wasn't there. Banks were playing the market with your money, your savings, your Christmas fund, your college fund, whatever it is you're saving in it. If you think it's sitting in a bank in a vault with the door closed, you're, all right, we got to talk. And so you'll get interest on your savings if you leave it in there, and they encourage you to leave it in there. This is going to be a theme throughout. You're going to continue to be encouraged not to come out of that market. Every step of the way, somebody's going to tell you, don't go nowhere. Things going to get better. Stay invested. Keep staying the game. Because they can't afford for you to leave. If you leave, some other folks might look around and say, maybe I better get out of here too. And next thing you know, everybody running. And so right now, there's two kinds of real, that's really just, as far as I'm concerned, that's really only two kinds of stock market investing. That's the old-fashioned way, where you want to put some money away and maybe it'll make money while it's sitting there. Instead of putting in a savings account, you might buy stock. What that means is you might buy a piece of a company. And if you are old school, you might think, well, IBM, if I put my money in IBM and just leave it there, they ain't going to go out of business tomorrow. That's a pretty strong company. And so when I get ready to get that money out of there in a year or so, whatever, I'll just let it go. You know, the stock market's going to go up and down like everything else. It's got a heartbeat. But its rhythm is way out of whack. But you put your money in some stock, but you look for some stock in something that you think is going to be around a while. So back in the day, you used to get blue chip stocks, IBM, General Motors, you know, something, you know, big companies out there that you thought was here forever, just here to last. They're going to always be there. So I'll leave my money there, and I'll go back and look at it every now and then, see if the stock has gone up. Right. And if it went up, I made some money. I ain't got the money yet. We'll talk about that in a minute. I don't have the money in my hand yet. I can't spend it yet. But when I go on to my computer or call my broker and my stock and the stock, I know the stock has gone up. He'll tell me, you know, what my stock is worth now in cash and money. If I were to sell it, what I could get for it. Right. If I were to sell it, what I could get for it. Cash. And so that's old school. You ain't running back and forth to the computer and watching the stock market. You ain't reading the stock papers every day. You put your money in something stable. Big company, big blue chip company. It's gonna be around a while. And so you don't worry about it. It's kinda like buying savings bonds. You know, that might mature in 50 years or 30 years. Or 1 year, you can mature in 1 year. And you'll get more money than you supposedly get more money than you put in because you accrue a percentage of interest. And so it will have a yield, what they call yield. It'll yield a percentage of interest on your money. And so people will do that. You know, you have a savings bond. Hey, that's the U.S. government. They ain't going nowhere. And so you could leave money out there in the stock market and just say, I own some IBM stock. I'm the shelf. You figure that stock may not be booming, but it's probably still worth what you pay for it, and maybe even a little bit more. The last thing you expect is to find out it's dropped, the bottom fell out. You pay $10, it's worth 10 cents. You wouldn't expect that of a big blue chip company, so you laid back. You long-term investor, they call you. All right, now you got these guys. And then that's the other side of this, guys. That's a casino. Anybody gamble out there? The other side of this is gambling. The other side of this is a casino. The other side of this is a make it or break business. And all you want to do, you don't want to own a piece of a company. What you want to do is make some money. So you will go in there and buy some stock and take a seat in the stock exchange or at home or on your computer. And you'll watch that. You got some of these guys they call day traders. You might trade stock every year. As you see the world turn, you might call your broker up and say, you know, I think I want to put some of that over here, some of that over there, and get his advice or whatever, and then have them do it. But you might be a day trader, which means you sit and trade all every day during every 24 hours, not every year, 6 months. You look at your stock, see what they're doing, and they're kind of saying, no, guys are staring at computers all day. And when there's a tick up, they try to gamble on whether it's going to go up some more or fall. Because if they sell now, they just made a little money. But if they stick around, what if it goes up a little bit before the day's out? And just before the market closes, they know it can't get any higher during that day. They might just cash out, sell the stock. It's more than what they paid for it. They made a little money. Now, of course, if they stay in there, it might fall. Instead of taking what they got, you know, they see it going up, they're going to wait. They're going to wait. It might go up some more. It might go up some more. I'm going to wait. And then you look back and you see, oh, my goodness, the thing is falling. It's down to what I paid for it. And if I don't get on the computer right now and sell it, it's going to be less than what I paid for it by the time the market closed. So now they lost all their money. They're losing money. So they have to watch that market and play. This is playing, right? You guys, y'all remember the movie Wall Street? Y'all remember Gordon Gekko, right? This dude bought an airline for one purpose. He bought an airline that was in trouble, and he had enough money to buy it from the owners. Like he was going to fix this airline back up and get it going. He bought that airline and started selling off planes to the bigger airlines, started selling off the trucks, sold off everything. That airline disappeared. But he made a lot of money selling pieces of an airline. The people who worked there, there is no airline anymore. The guy who bought it broke it up into little pieces, sold the trucks, everything. The planes, everything. Cashed out. No more airline. He could give a damn about those workers who worked there that he told he was going to buy it and turn it around. He could care less. He didn't buy an airline because he wanted to run an airline. He brought an airline to make some quick money. So he bought it and then sold it off piece by piece. Sent the workers home. There's no more airline. So speculators could care less about buying a piece of a company like IBM or something, being able to say I own some IBM or Shell or whatever. But speculators could care less. Here's a recent example, GameStop, a company called GameStop. GameStop is what Blockbuster was. In the old days, we went to Blockbuster and got a big VHS tape. You played it and you brought it, returned it back to Blockbuster. And you got fined if you didn't, if you were late or something. But you returned it back to Blockbuster. You picked up your video tape, VHS, and you returned it. Well, that's the way GameStop is for games. You go pick up a game, you rent it, I guess you're renting it, and then you you have to bring it back, drop it back off or whatever. Going out of business just like Blockbuster. There's games on the computer now. You don't have to go anywhere to get a game. Some of the best. Just download the thing. Go to somebody's store, Google Play, Microsoft stores. You know, go to one of these stores. There's apps out the back. Games all day long. So GameStop's going out of business. If anybody paid attention to this, they saw GameStop stock going up higher and higher, costing more and more. People buying more and more of that stock. And if you're a day trader, you're sitting there watching that stock go up because people buying. And you want to get in there. Something must be going on with GameStop. Nothing was going on with GameStop. They're going to close the doors. And if you had done your due diligence, you would have checked into that and found out that GameStop had no new plans to do anything new. They were shutting down stores. So why is their stock going up? Why are people buying the stock? It wasn't people. It was a group of wealthy people who wanted to get rid of the stock because it was cheap, because they were losing money. They had paid for it, but it's going down the drain. So what they did is they said, okay, let's buy some more of it, lots of it, and make folk think they're doing something over there at GameStop. And sure enough, when people saw all these rich folks buying big shares of GameStop, everybody wanted to get in there on the game. Turns out GameStop was closing. These rich folks ran the price of that stock up. People were buying. I better buy before it get any higher. They're still buying out there. I better get me a piece before it gets, you know, the price is going up too high. So I better get me a piece now before it goes up even higher. And so people start investing in GameStop without checking. And then them guys, once that price got high enough, them guys who thought who was losing money on games on stock they already owned, now they start selling at that higher price, and they make money. And Johnny come lately, you think you know the stock market. You think you're a player. So you got up in there. Now you done bought this expensive stock. All of a sudden the price is dropping because these guys who had the big pieces that got you all interested, buy thousands of shares and all that, now they're dumping that. Selling it right now at the highest price they can get it, and that means the price starts going down. Selling it back, selling the stock. And you know, guys, as fewer and fewer stock, people start buying, the price goes up, right? The premise for Bitcoin. That's what makes Bitcoin worth anything. That's all, damn near, that makes the concept of cryptocurrency worth anything. I just said that here's the principle. In a capitalist society, especially in the marketplace, things that are scarce are dear. You pay more for them because they ain't but a few. You know, like they tell you diamonds are rare. They're not, but they tell you that and you believe them, I guess. You let them charge you all kind of money for diamonds and there's mountains of them. Everybody could have some. Pocket full. But they're rare. Diamonds are rare. Anyway, so if it's rare, if there's only a few, it's dearer. It costs more to get it. If there's a lot in a capitalist society, then the price of it goes down. Even its value is going down out there on the market. So that means, you know, you can see that, guys, just when a bunch of producers get together, and let's say they produce corn, toilet paper, and they say there's a shortage on toilet paper. Now they got a warehouse full, but the price is so low they can't make no money. And so they, so the word goes out, there's a shortage on toilet paper. Can't nobody, it's hard to get it. Stores are calling to get it, but these companies that make it saying, we ain't got enough. That's, we having a problem getting the cotton or the paper, or they lie about it, right? Anyway, they're holding it off the market so the price goes up because abundance lowers the price. Scarcity raises the price. And so they create an artificial scarcity. Now, you're going to run to the store and take all the toilet paper off the shelf because you heard they're running out of toilet paper. You don't know no better. You can't. You ain't up there where they're making these deals. And so, guys, cryptocurrency gets its value from the same, gets its worth from the same mechanism. And we'll talk about crypto when we get back. Bitcoin and the like. To Revolutionary Life. Revolutionary Life, where we look at things in this world from a revolutionary point of view. If you don't play the stock market today, the title today is If You Don't Play the Stock Market. Do you play the stock market or do they play you? There's two kinds of investors that I recognize out there. And one is long-term, people who want to own a piece of a big company. So they buy some stock in the company. Boom. On the other hand, there's something called speculating, where you could care less about a company. You in there to make money. And you'll buy and sell and lie and cheat and mislead to do so. Y'all don't hear me. They got information about what's coming down the pike before you do, right? You ain't on the computer 24/7 watching stocks, watching the news, guessing if there's going to be an oil shortage or something coming up and what to do about it. You ain't switching your money from pounds to euro because the euro brings in a lot more than the dollar. The euro is stronger than the dollar. So your cryptocurrency is not really crypto, but that's okay. The cryptocurrency, one of the interesting things that was, I don't know if anybody tried to sell you guys crypto yet, but I get advertisements all the time about it. But one of the things about cryptocurrency when it first came out, it was going to be an alternative to using banks and finance institutions to buy and sell, save, and all that. No middleman, right? You want to buy something, you buy it. Nobody knows who bought it. No receipts like that or that. You know, what you bought, how much you paid for it, all that good stuff. It doesn't have to go through some bank transaction where they take it off your Visa card, you know, whatever you method of payment you tell them to. And so crypto means that nobody knows who the buyer and who the seller is, right? And the computer is handling all these transactions. They got something called a blockchain. Look. The blockchain is so good that financial institutions are already using it. I mean, good in terms of security. So far, so good. However, financial institutions who use the blockchain method for security is a lot different from cryptocurrency that uses that same method, open ledger method. A computer is handling all of their transactions. And they got these Bitcoin miners, more people on more computers, making these transactions happen. Now, I'm not going to go into it, guys, but just keep in mind, when you think cryptocurrency and Bitcoin miners or whatever it is, China mines most of the world's bitcoins. They got the computer set up over there like it ain't nothing. And most of your bitcoin transactions and exchanges are hooked up in some way or another through China. They got a whole mining operation. And anybody can be a bitcoin miner. It just takes a lot of energy, electricity, and time and computing power. And they got it. So China gets a chance to mess around with it a little bit. I don't know if they can stop anything. I don't know. I'm just saying. Most of the cryptocurrency mining and exchange is going down in China. Has to go through there some kind of way. So check this out. Cryptocurrency is just ones and zeros, right? You see a little coin when they advertise it, but there's no coin. There's nothing physical. Strike number one. When you're looking to invest in something, you, in the old days, you went for a blue chip stock, a company you thought had some vitals that was going to be around for a while. Strong companies. You know about them. You know, IBM ain't something secret. You know about it. You know it's doing good or whatever. And so, but cryptocurrency is secretive in terms of transactions. And that's, I think that was one of the positives about it. No bank. You don't have to go through some bank institution to make a purchase or to want to do these smart contracts. And so where it ends, guys, you can't do anything else with them ones and zeros. I can't go to the corner store with Bitcoin. They don't take them down there. I can't get gas with Bitcoin. They don't take them down there. Before Bitcoin can even be useful, and you got to listen to my other presentation on money, guys, because there's a lot of rant. Right now, people are talking about the government is printing all this money, so the value of money is going down, down, down. You can buy less with a dollar, right? And so because of all this money in circulation, and what did I say? When something is in abundance in a capitalist society, it's cheap. When something is scarce, it's dearer. It's more expensive. And so all this money out here now, the Fed's just printing it. And they ain't calling it money. If you look at it, it ain't money. If you take that money out your pocket and look across the top, they'll tell you it didn't come from the U.S. government. It came from the Federal Reserve. And it says right across the top, a Federal Reserve note, i.e. a promissory note, i.e. an IOU. We're passing around debt as money. As long as it says a Federal Reserve note, that means the Federal Reserve printed them up for you. And you can use them to buy and sell stuff as legal tender. Debt is legal tender. That's a debt market as well as a money market. So all that stuff, are commodities. And what did I tell you in my previous presentation? A commodity is anything produced for the sole purpose of sale or trade. And if they can't sell it or trade it, they'll burn it up. They're burning it up to make it scarce, because what I say, if it's scarce, it's worth more. And so cryptocurrency, besides the fact that it's cryptic and nobody knows who's buying what with who, cool. You don't have to go through any banks to make purchases. All right, got that. But what makes it valuable? Well, I just told you, they only made so many coins. So all I got is 100 coins, and you come along and buy 10 of them, that last 90 prices, the price for them last 90 going to go up because I got fewer. And if somebody comes along and buy another 10, now I only got 80 coins because I ain't printing anymore. There will be no new Bitcoin. So they print one amount, and every time somebody takes some of that, buy one of them out of that stack, The price of every coin in that stack goes up. Why? Because it's fewer and fewer, scarcer makes money, scarcer increased value. So the Bitcoin is going up in value now, if you look, and because people are buying them in hopes that they'll keep going up in value. But the closer you get to the end of that stack of coins of Bitcoin, like I said, they ain't finna make no more. They ain't like the Fed. They ain't gonna keep printing new Bitcoins when they run out. Check that out. There's only so many. And so after you get, I printed 100 Bitcoins, somebody come in and bought 90, I got 10 left. Do you know how much those 10 are gonna cost? Do you know the price I'm gonna put on those last 10? It's going to be way out of most people's ability to afford. The closer it gets to the final amount of Bitcoins, they're not printing anymore, guys. It's not the Fed. So, and that's where it gets its value. The fact that they're not going to print anymore, that's a finite amount, means that it's, every time somebody buys one, there's less. They can go up on the price now. And so one day, as they get closer to the end there, that price is going to be way up there. It's going to be very few people who can play that game. But those who do got the Bitcoin already are going to have some money. I mean, if they cash it in. Now, that's where we're at, guys. It's a casino. You're gambling when you play crypto or when you speculate on the market. It's just like going to a casino. Now, you know, casinos don't have windows, and they don't clocks on the wall. If you didn't know that, check it out. Casinos will not have windows. You can walk in there in the daytime, and when you walk out, it's night. I mean, when you walk out, it's the next morning or something. You didn't even know the passage of time because there will be no clocks on the walls in a casino. You're not supposed to go anywhere, especially if you're winning their money. The last thing you do is walk out of there with their money in your pocket. There's going to be always some other way to get that money out your pocket before you walk out that door, even if you're winning. They don't want you to leave. So if you made a whole lot of money on this machine is hot. Maybe I better put some more money in here. I might double my money. And how many people done walked out of there debt broke telling folks how much money they made, they won? Well, where is it? Well, I played it all back. The stock market is the exact same way when you're speculating and when you're dealing in something that has no intrinsic value. A Bitcoin has no intrinsic value. All of them, Ethereum, you name it. If it's a cryptocurrency, it's ones and zeros. If it's gold, you can put your money in gold, and the value of gold don't fluctuate that much. And gold not only can be used to save your money, gold can also be used in industry. Half the computer parts I got gold tips on them because gold makes a great electrical connection. It doesn't rust like copper or something. It makes a true connection, electrical connection every time for a long time. It doesn't rust. So if you want a good connection, you need reliable electrical connections, you use gold on the tips of your computer chips and whatnot. Shoot, I used to have a computer shop. I had a guy who would come over often because I kept a lot of pieces and parts around, who would come over often to see if I had CPUs, the brain of the computer, had all these little needles on the end of it, and they all were dipped in gold. And these guys were coming, ask me for those chips, and if I had any. And they had a warehouse where they had the asset. Now, they had the whole setup where they were trying to recover gold from computers. So I know gold, and then jewelry. You got to add jewelry in there. Gold has all these other uses. That's my point, guys. What other use is there for Bitcoin? You put your money in copper. Every electrical wire, the whole electrical industry will be buying copper for a while, guys. You don't have to worry. One day, you know, copper is going to be gone or something. Copper is in everything. Every wire in my house is a copper wire. Damn near. Precious metals, things like that, things that are useful in other ways than just their value and weight. You know, a pound of gold, a pound of copper, whatever. Makes sense to me. This is like buying blue chip stock in the old days. These are things that are going to be around a while. Invest in them. Sounds good to me. But Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, ones and zeros. It's great that you can bypass the banks and make transactions in some places. But I can't go to the grocery store with the Bitcoin. So it ain't currency. It's just an investment. It's like if you want to store something. money. You can store it in Bitcoin or store it in gold or store it in silver, just so hopefully it'll keep its price as the years go by and maybe even go up in price and cost and value. And so my little rant on the market, it's a gamble, it's a casino, and they will always ask you not to leave. When things look bad and you need to cut and run, cut your losses, sell that stock, get your money out of there, they're going to ask you to put it back in. They'll do it anyway. If you got dividends, when you get dividends, you could, that's your money that you've made off of your stock. If that company pays dividends on stock, they're going to send you some money. They're going to send you some money every so often. But every time they do, they're going to encourage you to roll that money back in. Why don't you just leave it there? Let's buy some more stock with it. Don't take it out now. And so you got your dividend coming, but you ain't spending it. They talk you into putting it back in if they can. So they want you to stay in that market. And many of y'all ain't in the stock market. Well, I'll tell you something. My older sister came to me with an envelope one day, and she says, could you tell me what this is? And I opened it up, and it was a letter from a financial corporation called Vanguard. Obviously, her retirement at this place she had been working for years, part of her retirement in stock. Now, she had no idea. She didn't even know what stock, you know, she didn't know any of this kind of stuff. This wasn't something she was even interested in. But all of a sudden, she in the stock market, and you probably are too. You made your retirement fund. You've been talked into putting part of your retirement fund to save that market way back when it was falling apart. Ronald Reagan, the Reagan Revolution. IRAs versus your pension. And so the market got her. She's in the market whether she knew it or not. And she didn't know anything about stock. I had to show her what she owned in stock, what they had invested, and then they give her a report. She gets a report every now and then on how her stock is doing. She don't pay much attention to it. She's not ready to retire, but she needs to know she's in the market, whether she wanted to be or planned to be or not. And you might be too. And so, guys, I ain't got no problem with investing. I like the old-fashioned way, where if you want to own a piece of a company that you think is going places, they need the money. You want to invest. You need to invest somewhere to make some money, put some money away somewhere that's going to grow. Get you a company, but just get something that's real, man. Something gold, copper, shit. Things you know that are going to be used every day that's got more value than just that is running out. A Bitcoin's value, it comes from scarcity. Every time somebody buys it, it's going to go up until it gets so high few people can get in there. Right? That's it. All right. And to top it all off, guys, if you look at my previous presentation, when I talk about the American dollar and fiat currency, when somebody comes to me talking about how great the Bitcoin is and how terrible the American dollar is and how the Bitcoin can be an alternative to the dollar. Have you ever heard of petrodollars? Did you know that the world buys oil on the market and dollars? I don't care if you got rubles. I don't care if your country's got yen. When you go to the market to buy oil, you got to come up with some dollars, American dollars. That's why they call them petrodollars. Go $50 a barrel. $50 a barrel means $50, not 50 yen, not 50 euro, pesos or anything like that. You got to pay in dollars, American dollars. So a lot of companies and countries, they keep some dollars around to buy oil with, because the oil is bought and sold in American money, in American dollars. So whatever you think of that fiat currency that the feds keep printing, the world keeps holding on to it and using it, and your Bitcoin finds its value in that same fiat currency. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. Just about the time you thought Bitcoin or cryptocurrency was some kind of freedom, liberation, revolution, when I ask you, what's that Bitcoin worth? You're going to give me a price in fiat currency. How about that? When I go on a computer and see what Bitcoin are selling for, they're selling for dollars. The same fiat currency. And so we're getting to our call-in section. Guys, that's all I have for tonight. No, it's not. No, it's not. But that's all I have for tonight because we're in our call-in section. I'm going to open up my lines. And I'm gonna open up my chat room, and my call-in number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. If you call me, you're gonna be going straight on the air, so be ready for that. And I'll have my chat room open, so if you just want to write something in the chat, you're free to do that. I'll get to that as well. All right. I'm going to give you a little music, and this time is your time to shine. Listen to Revolutionary Life. We're here, and my name is Gary, and we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tonight we've been talking about money. We've been talking about the stock market. There's a whole other presentation I do on money and currency. But tonight we've been talking specifically about investing. Because a lot of people want you to invest. And I told you, you might be invested and not even know it. I asked if Do You Play the Stock Market was the title of this. Do You Play the Stock Market or Do It Play You? The last time I checked, cryptocurrency was valued in terms of dollars. The last time I checked. Now, I did a whole thing on money, guys, and feds and printing money, worthless money, IOUs, Federal Reserve notes. That's what it says on your money across the top, Federal Reserve notes. It ain't backed by anything. It just floats out there on the market for whatever the market will bear, just like any commodity. I told you, you don't even control the money in your pocket. Can be worth less in the morning. You ever notice that? The money, you ever get up one morning and stop at the gas station on the way to work, and the gas that used to be $2 is now $4, $1.50, not $2. You don't determine that. I know. But my mama told me she bought a loaf of bread for a quarter. I said, well, what's the difference? She says, ain't no difference. The bread didn't increase in value. The money ain't worth nothing. It takes you four times as much to buy what you could have bought with 25 cents. More than that now. That means the money is worth less and less. And the last time I checked, all of this stuff, crypto stuff, was valued in fiat currency. IOUs, promissory notes, dollars. I'm just saying, is it really revolutionary? My lines are open. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. Call me, and you're going right on the air. Everybody hear what you have to say, and everybody will hear my response. Also, I got my chat room open, and so if you'd like to throw something in the chat, I will definitely respond to the chat. We talking speculating, stock market, and cryptocurrency. Thank you. Hey guys, I'm talking investing, but I don't qualify as somebody to give investment advice. But I'll tell you, if I had bought a Bitcoin years ago for chump change for a little bit, and now it's $60,000 a coin, I take the money and run. I'm just saying. I've been high before. And if you've been high before, you know at some point, every high comes down. I'm just saying. You got to come down sooner or later. Listen to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 Central Standard Time. Every night, every weekday night, we're talking about some of the subjects that affect our lives every day. Things we think needs to be changed. Playing in the stock market like it's a casino is messing with people's everyday lives, and it needs to stop, man, I would think. I don't mind, but I get the point of buying stock in a company. A company needs the money, and you need the investment. And down the road, that stock might come up to be something. Hey, the company needs the money. That's why they went public, to raise money by selling stock. And you help them when you buy it. Even swap ain't no swap. But speculating? Playing the market for money, buying and selling companies and stock and company, pushing companies up, pushing them down financially, jacking them around so you can make some money off suckers in the market. Well, not suckers, just people that's slower than you on what's going on in the market. So you can artificially buy GameStop, even though you know it ain't worth anything. But you know, some folks who picked up the paper or read, looked in there and saw GameStop price going up because people were buying the stock. It wasn't people. It was a hedge fund. It was a bunch of rich folks who had bought that stock a long time ago. It ain't worth nothing. The place finna close. They stopped buying it, and when people saw these big guys buying it, they went and bought it. They saw the price going up. They thought they better get in there while the getting is good. And they stopped buying this worthless company stock. And the stock market made it look like this company was doing something great. They weren't doing it. They were getting ready to close. And everybody who jumped in that lake when the price was way up there and the hedge fund started selling, they made their money back off of you. And you bought a company. You didn't do your due diligence, I guess. You didn't go check it out. GameStop would have told you, we're shutting down stores. We're not doing anything new. But if you're a day trader, maybe you ain't got time to go check out, you know, because you're too busy trading. You're just watching the computer, and the lines go up and down, and the numbers go by. And so speculating can hurt this country. It hurts our currency because you're gambling. And if you want to gamble, go to a casino. If you want to invest in a company that you think going somewhere and they need your money and you're looking for someplace to put it where it's going to be safe or at least go up and, you know, make you some money, invest. Public offerings come up. You like the company. You check the company out. It looks good. You buy gold. You know gold's going to be around. It's been around for thousands of years. It ain't going nowhere. Plus, they make jewelry out of it. Plus, they use it in industry. Just it's got other uses. That's all I'm saying. Practical uses that you can see in every copper, everyday life. No, it ain't no big thing, but it's safe. I can bet you it's going to be around a while. Crypto? Short of the fact that them ones and zeros that make up what's called cryptocurrency, all computer run, short of the fact that it being anonymous and buying and selling, what other value is it have? I can't take it to the store. I can't go to the grocery store with it tomorrow. I can't go to the gas station with it tomorrow. I can't go down to the corner store with it tomorrow. My light, gas, and water company don't take Bitcoin. They want some dollars. I'm sorry. But who knows? Maybe Bitcoin will go the way we'll hook up with the dollar. Because like I said, guys, when it's all said and done, when you go look at the price of Bitcoin, they're going to give you that price in fiat currency. They're going to give you that price and this unstable, weakening. Everybody will tell you inflation's coming because the Fed's printing more money for Biden. Biden got this big program out there, and it's going to take money, and ain't no money, so they're going to print some. And every time they print money, everybody says, look out, here we go. Money's going to go down, 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 because quantity, abundance in the system means things get cheaper. Scarcity means they are more expensive. So money is going to be everywhere, tons of it. I mean, they're already sending out $1,400 checks all over the country to everyone, to most everyone. So there's money out there now. They're going to be printing and printing, and every time they print it, any financial people will tell you that it increases the quantity of money. Money is going to go down in its value. That loaf of bread that used to be a dollar, now it's going to be $4 or $2 or $3 or whatever. That gasoline that used to be $2.50, it's going to be... You're going to have to come up with a few more dollars to get it because the dollar ain't going to be the worth for anything. Just like my mama said, she paid a quarter for a loaf of bread. I said, what's the difference? She said, ain't no difference. The bread's still the same. The only difference is the money. The fiat currency. Oh, I got a caller, guys. Hang on just a minute. I'm going to bring my caller in. Here. Okay. All right. Oh, hang on a minute. Hello, caller. This is Gary. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Gary? How you doing, man?
Hanging in
there.
Is
Patrick calling in? Yeah.
How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing all right. I don't know if you've covered this before, but there's a report that comes out from the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank on the M1 money supply.
Right.
And it's the M1 supply of money. And so they have a report every year, and I think they started this in the 80s or 75 or something like that. I don't have it in front of me.
You're right. I don't know when they started it, but yeah. But M1 and M2 are titles for money supply, correct.
And so when I saw the chart, when I saw the report and they had the chart for last year, it was mind-blowing because you see the line slowly move up, slowly move up. And then when it gets to 2020, it shoots straight up.
Oh.
And that was that stimulus.
That's right.
And so when you look at the report now, it says discontinued. It was so shocking that they're saying that they're no longer going to publish the report.
Ain't that
because when people saw it, they started sending it around everywhere, and people were like, "Look at this!" It was like, "Whoa! Like, what's going on?" Like, and then they said discontinued. They will not be doing the report for 2021.
What? Check nope. that.
They're not going to publish the report. They're still going to do it, but they're not going to publish it. Right? Mm. It's probably going to stay internal. So you won't be able to see that chart. I mean, it's absolutely wow.
Astronomical
right? so,
numbers.
Yeah, it goes straight up. It's amazing because it's going up slowly. It's going up kind of horizontally, but still trending up. And then when it gets to a certain point, 2020, it turns and goes 90 degrees almost.
Now, the idea, when you buy, it's just like when you go borrow money for a project of some kind. Maybe you're for a project of some kind that you're gonna do. And maybe that project is a financial one, a business of some kind, let's say, some kind of transaction where you're going to make money. And so you borrow money in hopes that you're going to make enough money to pay that back and have some left over. That's the goal, I guess. And so the government is the same situation now. This whole infrastructure plan, this whole plan, what this money is supposed to be going for, it's supposed to pay itself off. It's supposed to pick up on. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know how much of the stimulus, this last recent stimulus, do you know the percentage of it that actually went towards any COVID relief?
It's supposed to be a COVID bill, but there was all kinds 10%. There's all kind of other things attached to it.
Pork bill projects, and all kinds of pork in that thing. Only 9.something% went to actual COVID. 90% of it went towards other things. A lot of it went to prop up the market.
And sometimes just to get things passed up there, you have to agree to put somebody's favorite project on the bill.
Right.
I mean, horse racing got money. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it went to Wall Street.
Yeah.
You know, so, and a lot of it went to the market, right? To prop up the market. But you
see, prop up the
different
market.
From last year. See, last year, when they did the stimulus, it actually really did prop up the market. People made a lot of money. I mean, a lot of us made a lot of money last year. I mean, it was great to be in the market last year.
Mm.
The difference is that it inflated the dollar so much that when it happened this time, for a number of reasons, when it happened this time, when Biden put it out, as you see, the markets really didn't respond that well to it.
No.
Not like it did last year.
No, we had a win.
In order to put
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You're right.
In order to prop up the market, now you need a whole lot more money because you've inflated the dollar.
Yes. Twice as much, maybe four times as much.
Exactly. So now you can't prop up the money. You can't even prop up the market with $1.9 trillion or whatever. You need more. So it really didn't do that much. You look at the market now, it's all red, right? Like it's not responding.
That's right.
Crypto is much better, right?
In the sense, now, as an asset, like gold or something like that, a store of money, a store of value, it today it's an asset. It ain't currency, but they call it cryptocurrency, but it's an asset, like gold or
place
where you can put your money.
Yet.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not a medium of exchange yet. It's just, like you said, a store of value, right? It's just an asset, right? But it does help you preserve your wealth.
That's the idea.
Right?
In the long run, I mean, but, you know, like I said, I don't know, I'd be considering anything that gets this high, either you believe it's never going to go down again, and they're going to try to keep, you know, they try to keep you in the market. If you decided to sell your Bitcoins, you're gonna have all kinds of commercials and stuff with people trying to tell you that it's still gonna go up. It's still gonna go up. You don't want to get out now. You're gonna miss out, and so you leave it in there. That's the way casinos do. You don't want to leave yet. I know you just hit the jackpot, but why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? And they want you to walk out of there broke, and so they don't want you to leave with anything. If you win in a casino, I don't care if you're on a one-armed bandit. If you got more money than you put in that machine and you walked out of there, you beat the casino. I don't care if it's a nickel. But how many people walk out of there after winning with nothing. And so they're going to try to keep you in there until it drops.
But here's the difference. Here's the difference. The difference in this case is that, okay, so let's just talk about Bitcoin. So the difference is, number one, it's global.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say they are going to try to keep you in,
I see.
Who? They in the United States? It's different.
Is Bitcoin traded?
It's a little different this time around. It's different. Now people are using it to survive now. There's parts of Nigeria. The reason why it's pumped up in Nigeria so much is because their currency is trash. It's absolute trash. So Bitcoin in Nigeria, I think it's like $70,000, like $80,000, something like that, because the demand has grown, because they tried to ban it, and then that only drives the price up, right?
I remember when they banned. I remember when the government put out that letter saying that they was banning the use of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm, I remember that.
Yep. How did that work? It didn't. People still use them, right? So it's, see, here's the, if you ever read the Bitcoin white paper, you ever, like, for people who are around, have been around this for a while, there's a saying, one Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. Meaning that, yes, we're using the dollar to evaluate it today. But they're saying in the future, it won't matter what you say it is worth against the U.S. dollar. They won't care. You can say it's $5. You can say it's $100. They say we're no longer valuing it in dollars. Dollars is of no use to us anymore. We value Bitcoin in Bitcoin. That's where it's going.
Is that what Soshi, that original, the guy who, what is it, Soshi? The guy who started this thing, I suppose, to give him credit for starting. I guess it's a guy.
Nobody really knows whether it's one person or a number of people, Satoshi Nakamoto. So the thought on this is, and it takes time to wrap your head around. One Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. One Bitcoin doesn't equal $1,000. One Bitcoin doesn't equal $60,000. One Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. And their goal is to remove the dependency of Bitcoin on fiat money. Right now, we have to, you know, it's done that way because everybody still uses the fiat dollar. But as we can see, that's slowly starting to go away. But much faster than I thought. But still, it's a process.
Well, we'll see. You know, when I look at, like I said, when I look at an asset that doesn't have a whole lot of use value in day-to-day life, in industry and other places, it has to have more things that it can do. You know, jewelry, gold can be jewelry, gold can be an industry, all that kind of stuff. But what else can you do with Bitcoin? And so maybe it's going to evolve. And then
you can buy a Tesla.
You can buy a Tesla. That's true. Tesla will take Bitcoin. I heard that. But the other thing is, when you go through a bank or a Visa card to do a transaction like we do nowadays, if something goes wrong, you can always call somebody at the bank. You might be on the phone a while, but you can always have somebody track down what happened to your money or whatever. How did that transaction go wrong, and try to get it straightened out. There's a guy who bought Bitcoin years ago for tiny amounts of money, comparatively, and today it's worth millions. And guess what? He can't remember the password. He's tried five times, you only get six. He's tried five times, and he refused to try it one more time. And so people call him and say, hackers call him and stuff and say, let me try it. But he only have one more try. And that money is gone. Ain't nobody to call. He can't call the bank.
Nobody to call.
So there's a whole nother issue.
If I told you, because we've been dependent on this system that we don't know how to do things. You have to, if I tell you I'm going to give you $1 million and you be your own bank, if you forget a password, that's on you. If you don't secure it, it's on you. Now you have to take the responsibility for making sure that your funds are secure, right? And that you don't forget your password. That's unsettling for people. That's not how we've operated. But it's interesting you bring up Visa and MasterCard. Visa and MasterCard just said that they came out a month ago. They're doing Bitcoin and I think Ethereum, but they're doing Bitcoin now.
You'll
be able to buy stuff through Bitcoin.
Cash App.
And PayPal, too. Yep.
Yeah, and but there is a coin out there that's way ahead on putting together a Visa type card, debit type card. God, I can't think of the name of it now, but you don't hear about it much. But they're moving ahead towards that same process now. So I don't know how that's going to work. Yeah, you're right. PayPal is doing it. PayPal is encouraging people to buy through them, I guess, Bitcoin. And I guess you can buy Bitcoin like an ETF. You can buy a piece of a Bitcoin or something.
Now Visa and MasterCard is smart because they're saying now you can go make purchases with Bitcoin. So what they're going to do is they're going to take your Bitcoin and they're going to give the fee. They're taking the Bitcoin. That a lot of people are going to say, hey, we take Bitcoin for this. Hey, we take Bitcoin for that. Because the U.S. dollar is inflating, and it's starting to even Ray Dalio said cash is trash now. People are moving out of the dollar and moving into Bitcoin, gold, and hard assets, like real estate, stuff like that. So the dollar
until the dollar is strong, if the dollar is strong, some of those, like I say, some people are just speculators. And so if it goes back up, they go back. They'll start buying dollars.
Yeah, they'll go back. But until that happens, and I don't know what – I don't think that the Fed at this point can stop printing. If they stop printing, the house of cards falls in. They don't have a choice.
Now
they got to do another stimulus this year. They already did one, and they're talking about doing two more. They have to.
They have to. Now, check this out. If they decide to stop printing, you're going to have a Bitcoin situation in the sense that I was just explaining about the dynamic about scarcity versus, you know, they only made so many Bitcoins. And so if they only make so many dollars, then maybe that's where they should take a note from Bitcoin and say, okay, so printing money ain't going to solve this problem. Let's do what Bitcoin is doing. Let's stop printing. Let's say this is the M1. This is the money supply. This is all the money out there. And its value is going to go up.
The economy would immediately collapse. They can't do that. They would have to raise interest rates. They can't even raise interest rates a little bit because they know the house of cards is going to fall in.
Oh, the Fed was about to make it to zero. It was going down to zero.
The interest rates are zero, and they got to keep it there.
They're going to stop paying you to save
a little bit. Man, listen. What they're doing now, they're talking about negative interest rates.
Yeah. Yeah, you get paid.
That the money. No, you don't get paid. Negative interest rates is when you put your money in the bank, you got to pay to keep your money in there.
Oh, it ain't worth it to them. Yeah, and that's
now
a good point.
It's not worth anybody to put any money in the bank.
I mean,
if it's zero and you have your money in the bank in a savings account, you're not making any interest. You're making zero.
If
it goes to negative interest rate, you got to pay them.
If you're interested, this is why we discuss these things here, because if I don't want to put my money in the mattress, but I do want it to be in a safe place, and the bank says, I got a vault over here. Put that money in my vault, and I'll keep it for you, and it'll be here when you come back. Okay, that's saving. If you're out to get an interest rate, if you're out to make your money make money while it's sitting there, that's a whole nother story. You just moved into a different type. You're an investor, really, not a saver, in the sense that you're expecting your money to give you make money. And so
because
savings ain't really what it is. It ain't really savings. It's really just let the bank play with your money on the market or whatever they do. Like we had the big stock market crash back in the day. It's because the banks were playing the market. I mean, yeah. And so when the market crashed, people would have had to run on the bank to get their money, and the money wasn't there. They had to have a bank holiday. In other words, they had to close the bank. That's why we got an FDIC now. The government told everybody, we're going to insure your money. Put it back in there. And they did. FDIC and FSLC, one for savings and loans. The other one for federally insure your money up to a certain amount. Or people wouldn't have put their money back in the bank in the first place. But that was a safe place to put it other than in the ground or in a mattress. So we're moving from that basic savings. So we start talking interest rates. We talk about how much money my money going to make when I save it. Then we're in a different territory. We're using money to make
here's
money.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. No matter whether you keep your money in the bank, no matter you keep it in your trunk of your car, no matter if you keep it in your mattress, because they have printed so much, inflation is eating the value of your dollar no matter where it is. The value of the dollar is going down.
True.
You're going to see it reflected, and it's already being reflected in the price of food, in the prices of goods, gas is all starting to go up. This is just the beginning. We've seen nothing yet.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your call, my man. And
all right.
And I hope we try to be smart out there. We're not in control of that market. Sometimes they play games with us, like I did that whole thing on GameStop and all that stuff. They can figure out ways to make money. And if we are not quick enough, we'll follow up behind them, and they'll make out, we won't. And so
that's true.
And like I said, when you see the market go up like that, you see Bitcoin go up like this. I told you earlier, I take the money and run, because anybody who's been high know that that high comes down. The question is when it's going to come down, and they're going to want you to stay there. Not yet. You're going to miss out, and so you leave it there. That they plan people with that, because they're going to come out of there before you do, and they're going to take your money. But
news just came out that Walmart just put $1 billion in.
Bitcoin?
Yep. They didn't announce it, but apparently you'll know when they come out with their financial statements next month in May. Apparently it's supposed to show that. That's what the rumor is at this point. I don't know.
Now I do hear. Now I've heard some.
But that's
I've heard some nations. I even heard that the U.S. was this. Considering a digital currency. So there's a lot of countries that are,
Yeah, they're called CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency.
Mm-hmm.
And really, all the countries are thinking, so the EU, they're getting theirs ready. United States is kind of getting theirs ready behind the scenes. All it's going to be is a digital version of the regular fiat currency, which you're using a lot now just digital anyway, when you're using cards and bank cards and stuff like that. It's just a digital version of what they already have. Now, the bad thing is with central bank digital currencies, like if you have $5 now, you can go to the corner store and spend it and then come home. Now, the only people that know that you spent that money is the person that recognized you in the store and yourself,
right,
or anybody else who saw you spend it. Government
right.
doesn't see that transaction. They don't know that you spent that money. Nobody knows. The bad thing with central bank digital currencies is now they're going to know all of your purchases. Where
right.
you spend it, when you spend it, what store you spend it with, they're going to have that. And the only way they can take your $5 from you is to come physically take it from you, or you can give it to them. That's the only way you can get rid of that $5. Now, with central bank digital currencies, they'll be able to take it by flipping a bit on a computer.
Mm. Yeah,
control.
That's what digital, and yeah, that's what digital is about. And I mean, that's what digital turns every, it's just like analog going to digital. They got to take what used mm-hmm. to be tangible, and they're going to make things that are not, like the, what is it, what do they call them, the NFTs? You know,
yeah,
I know a guy who just registered him an NFT, and he printed so many of them, and he's got a non-fungible asset or something.
Token, yeah.
Token, yeah. And so yeah. everybody's trying to get into the make, you know, digital. The digital world.
This one's really
right.
gonna blow
it's
your
gonna
mind.
Be easier. What's that?
This one really going to blow your mind. Somebody just bought some land in Decentraland. Decentraland is not even a real place.
What?
It's a digital place. It's a
property.
Digital place that you go into, like virtual reality, and you go around, and somebody just bought a bunch of land for like hundreds of thousands of dollars in this digital place. So anybody that goes into this thing in this virtual they
that's,
go to this place, and this person owns it. And it's just
yeah.
there's nothing there. It's just a digital, like a game. And you,
it's a space on a he's got a space on a hard drive on a cloud on a computer somewhere.
That's it. That's it.
You can buy space. All right. And
you
so,
see how you, so I just said that to say that you're right, and that's just another example of what you're saying.
Wow, that's wild. And all somebody got to do is pull the plug. And I was just saying that China, they tell me China's doing most of the Bitcoin mining. And most of the mining has to go through most of the even the transactions have to go through these big computers in China.
There's a lot
they
of
got
miners,
way ahead.
And a lot of them are in China, yeah. Not all of them. I don't even think 2%, but it's quite a few. In China, yes.
And they tell me they're going through power like it ain't nothing. They're chewing up electrical
they're
power
absolutely.
Like it ain't nothing.
They absolutely are. They absolutely are. And you know who they're going to get their resources from now. You know where they're draining resources from to build their infrastructure.
Africa.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're running the police force in one country and now. They got industries and they're bringing resources. It's like neo-colonialism, I guess. But they're not oppressing the people physically, but they're using that cheap labor and those lax regulations and all that in the land. See, that the way you get them to come in is not by often telling them how much money they got to make by building a factory here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get them to buy in. You have to offer them land or something they can take away, they can own if the business fall apart.
Yep.
So they're putting land up also as a property up also, and so they can build a factory on the property, but even if the factory goes bust, they own the property, and that way they'll say, okay, we'll invest. So to get this, just to entice them to invest. And so they're buying Africa. Underneath them factories, they own the land. Anyway,
yeah.
So Africa needed something. They weren't doing anything organically, I guess, enough. And so, I mean, at homegrown. And this is becoming a global, international world. And they need to get in here. Everybody's got to play this, going to be in the game. And China's going to put them back in the game. I don't know how everybody's going to work out. I don't know how going to work out, but that's going to be manufacturing. That's where the money is, usually.
Yeah, they're stealing the wealth of the nation, and unfortunately, so-called leaders are not, you know, they're getting what they can get. And,
they get paid.
You know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, because you look around for something vulnerable. This is the way they do it. And when it's weak and it's bleeding and it's crippled, they jump on it. And so when they really, mm-hmm. when these countries, the worse they off they get, they'll stick back until they are desperate enough. And then they'll walk in with billions of dollars. We'll build a school. We'll build a police station. We're going to hire your people. But we want that land.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so.
Yeah.
So they,
anyway,
so,
great discussion.
Yeah. So
great,
I don't even like to go
tonight.
China, man, because China is like, China is out of my league. I mean, we got 300 million people in this country. Them folks got a billion people. If you can run a country with a billion people in it, that's a whole nother level, in my opinion. But, I mean, if you can, when I was a kid, they used to say, eat all the food on your plate, people in China starving. Kids in China starve. Now, 50 years later, they running things. And so I can't tell. I mean, somebody going to call me a communist or something. I get to talking about China, because every time I think about what they've done, and then I think about how many people they've done it with, billions, our little 300 million is chump change. We can't even run three. We can't run a country with 300 million. And this man over here working billions. Working with billions of people, he got to feed, house, and clothes. And he's doing it, obviously. They got enough money to venture out now, government-backed. Well, some of them are government-backed. Some of them are entrepreneurs. I appreciate you calling me, man.
Hey, no problem,
man.
Have a good one.
All right, hang in there. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Revolutionary Life. We try to take a revolutionary look at these things that affect our lives every day. And revolutionaries know that change is going to happen. What makes you a revolutionary is you try to stay on the vanguard. You try to stay on the cusp. You try to stay up there on the cusp of that wave, on the top of that wave, so it can carry you. You don't wait till it slaps you and knock you down. And the only way to do that is to be able to time that wave when it comes. A surfer has to time that wave to ride it. And if you ain't got your finger on the pulse, baby, you're just going to be late to the game. We're here every weekday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you missed this section, all of our shows are archived. Go to my site. Go to this site, and as you scroll down, you'll see all of the old shows, and they're all on demand. And I did one on money, so in general, this was more like on investing in the market and like in cryptocurrency and everything. So, but the other ones, they're still there. And this one will be available in about an hour or so after we finish up tonight. I want to thank everybody who listened in. I want to thank my caller. You know, I learned something. I hope you guys learned something. Most of my callers are intelligent. They're watching things. They're on top of things, and that's what I'm talking to you about. Don't walk around being jacked around. That's all I'm saying, guys. I'll be here tomorrow, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I want you to come join me. And if you subscribe to my show, if you follow my show, there's a little follow button. I also have a Facebook page by the same name, Revolutionary Life. And you can go over there to that page, and there's more stuff there. And also you can keep a heads up on what the next show is going to be about. Man, I appreciate everyone who listened in tonight. And I hope you guys can be here tomorrow. If not, you know I'm on demand. You can always go back and get those shows. Y'all take care, and I'll see everyone tomorrow night. I'm going to play you a little jazz as we go out. I want to wish you a good night.
Thank you.